You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. If you gamble, use your game sense. Visit GameSenseAB.ca to find out more.
Obviously, it's a slow time for the Oilers, and we don't know how much flexibility they're going to have, but you want to keep the team improving. And a guy that many people have kind of out or thought of and are maybe looking at up front to add to this group would be Connor Brown. What are your thoughts on a guy who was injured for the bulk of the year, was a former teammate of Connor McDavid? Is there a fit for him and his style of play with the Oilers, assuming the money can make sense?
I definitely think there's a fit for the style of play. I mean, he's been talked about for a while. Hey, like a couple of, you know, multiple trade deadlines where it's been, his name has kind of been out there. I remember one a few years ago in particular when he was with the Leafs still. You like the combination of skill. You like the kind of the engine, the work ethic. There's a tenacity to his play. You know, I think we would agree that there's enough kind of high-end skill mixed into that top six, and a little more sort of Zach Hyman-type stuff would be needed. So I think it's a good fit. You know, a bit of a gamble because he's coming off pretty significant injuries, and you never know how a guy's going to rebound, but you love the work ethic, so you have to think he's probably going to be okay. So, yeah, man, I think it's a decent fit, and I think if it's the right person, there's a good history there with McDavid, right work ethic. Yeah, I would think he would be fairly close to the top of the list anyways, hey?
Yeah, for sure. When you look at players coming back off of big injuries, you know, what can you think of any examples of how it looks? You know,
yeah.
In my mind, this is, so I'll, as you're combing through your mental archives, this is what I think. I see a player that is coming off a tough year. Completely free agent. I think for him, there's two ways to look at it. You're going to try to get as much term as you can because you don't know how you're going to feel or do. Or B, you go with a one-year contract in a good situation, right? Where you're like, I want to go somewhere where I can hopefully, if I can put up, you know, play, let's, you know, with a few missed games because of injury. It's called 75 games, and I bang in 22 goals. Next summer is a much different situation than this summer. So because I was trying to rack my brain. Like, I obviously, right now, I'm thinking of Pacioretty, but I don't know, two injuries, the same one. I have no idea what that even, that's a long ways away, but I can't think of too many guys that
like
have had this.
Four games, man. I mean, that is a full year that you've missed. You know, that's a major. So it's funny you asked that. I'm trying to think of examples where guys just literally did not play and then came back and were able to hit a high level. Like, I think back to, say, Oscar Klefbom in 15-16, right? Played 30 games. Then the next year came back, played a full 82, and had 38 points. Just a fantastic bounce-back year after an injury-plagued season there. So, I mean, guys have done it, but four games. Like, I think that's what Connor Brown has played, wasn't it?
Yeah, four. So the money, the money is where I think it's got to be difficult. And I don't know that incentives are really what I want to do. Like, you know, those bonus, if I'm the Oilers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be careful. But at the same time, you put some bonuses there that if he hits them, you're glad he hit them and you're happy to pay them. You know, whether it's a games played bonus or I'm not sure kind of what the different options that they'd want to consider are, but if they make sense and you're getting good value as a result of him hitting those bonuses, then, you know, I think there can be some sense there. So, yeah, and again, all of this is under the headline of Yamamoto being moved along because that's the cap space that they would need. But I think Brown is a decent option. We chatted a bit about Evan Rodriguez the other day. Evan Rodriguez, who's put up some goals before and moves pretty well. There are some options. But again, it's all contingent on Yamamoto being moved along, and there's Dylan Holloway sitting there who's going to want to push hard and compete for some of those minutes too, I'm sure.
Yeah. The more I watch these playoffs and I see the size and speed on the wings of a lot of these teams.
Oh yeah.
I just keep going down that hole. And I So my next, we'll change teams, but stay in the NHLs. We're joined by Ryan Rashog. I'm looking at the Montreal Canadiens and signing Cole Caulfield. I'm not saying that's not a good signing. I mean, the guy can flat out score. Probably would have been 40 goals this year if he hadn't, you know, been shut down. And I think it was January or February. Mm-hmm. But now he and Suzuki are two of their top six forwards. Now, I'm going to say that in a couple of years, Brendan Gallagher has probably moved on. I think that that's a guy that is smaller as well. But I think, you know, I can't see this team turning around that quick. So now two of your top six forwards are 6 feet and under. If you're, you know, the Montreal Canadiens, and you're starting to build this, I think that's it. You know, if you have the fifth pick, and if that the Russian Mitrov is sitting there at 5'10" in number five, I don't think you can draft that guy. So
yeah.
I think that, am I wrong to think you got to start adding or
no.
just selecting player on size only now?
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree. But if you look, I mean, Josh Anderson is signed longer term, assuming he stays there. They like him there. They like what he brings, and I know, you know, some question the money a little bit. There's a big, robust player, right? He, you know, Kirby Dach is a bigger guy. Doesn't play overly physical, but there's a big body there. Slavkovsky is a big body, and he's going to be a big part of this thing moving forward. So now, when you're talking about your top six, those are three pretty big guys. Suzuki has no problem with the size that he plays at and how he's able to get around out there. So I think they're okay, and I think what they've got coming, you know, they've got some size options there too. So I agree with you. You don't want to go too many more small guys. Like, we've seen enough playoffs that you can get shoved out of a playoff series pretty fast, right? If you're not big enough. We watched it happen, you know, a number of times with Johnny Gaudreau in Calgary, where it just wasn't there. So I think your point is well taken. Now, you get onto the draft floor and your staff absolutely believes the right guy is player, you know, player X, and he's a smaller guy. Are you not drafting a guy just because, you know, he's of that stature? That's where it gets interesting. You know, definitely gets interesting. But they're also drafting in a position where, you know, the player will probably show up sooner rather than later. It's not like he's 4 years away, although Michkov could be a ways away.
Yeah, here's an interesting one. That we were talking about player injured. Hey, guys, what about Gustav Nyquist? He'd have a history with Holland, missed much of last season, although he's a left shot from BM. So that's a guy that he is also a free agent, right? And
yep.
Wasn't able to play for a good chunk of the season. So that's another guy. So I'll be very interested to see how these guys work, what happens to them, because it's a bit of a wild card. Now, at least Nyquist you saw play in the playoffs, but I think for these guys, that ability to bring guys in would be pretty interesting. Now, going back to the Habs.
Real quick on Nyquist.
Yeah,
I would worry about the foot speed on him.
Okay.
Like, you need to be able to skate to play with those big guys, and I'm not sure that he's the fleetest of foot from my recollection of his play.
Okay. Now, going back to the Canadiens, I believe that the Habs are on the slow road to a rebuild. I just don't think they're like I highlighted that after two more seasons, currently on the roster, the guys that will be back are Suzuki,
Gallagher and Anderson.
No, I think Gallagher will be gone. I think those two guys would be gone. Because do you think those veterans want to grind through 2 years of really tough hockey?
So
I don't know if you knew their contracts. But, I mean, like in the next 2 years, can you anticipate them winning, I don't know, 40 games either year?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. And are those guys going to want to stick around? So you're projecting some guys will just flat out be gone.
Yeah, so the guys, I'd say Suzuki, Dach, obviously Caulfield, Slavkovsky, and then Mike Pezzetta. But I think I'm trying to talk a little bit more top six. That's no disrespect to bottom six players.
Yep.
But that's what I see. I mean, I don't know. Am I missing something? Like their D is very young,
yeah.
Right? So I think that, and they have some players coming. But I mean, you know, Michael Matheson, is he going to be there still in 2 years? You know, Joel Edmondson has one more year. Savard has two more. You know, these guys, I think you want to try to win. Then Jake Allen and Montembeau in the pipes.
Yeah,
I don't
but
know.
You can't just go moving on. Like, this is the thing. We've watched in Edmonton what happens when you don't have enough good veterans who can play significant roles surrounding the younger players. So the blue line, for example, right? Talk about, you know, Joel Edmondson. Well, he was brought here for a reason, and he was signed for a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't blame them if they wanted to use him for that very reason. The reason that Joel Edmondson might be as important as he is because you've got Barron and Gouley and Kovacevic on the back end, although he's a little bit older, and Jacki. So you've got these young guys. They need some veterans around them. They need Savard. They need Edmondson if they're going to have these young guys. So, I mean, I don't know. If you're the Habs, don't make the same mistake and thin out the, you know, your top six forwards and your top five blue liners so much that you don't have elder statesmen standing guard to shepherd these guys along. I think you need to be careful with that.
No, and I listen, I'm not saying the Habs don't want to leave, get them out. I'm saying that those players, like, are you know, like, if you're, let's use Joel Edmondson. Now, he's going to be 30 years old. Does he want to stay around and play, you know, the last 2 or 3 years of his career on a team that is going to be challenged to make the playoffs? Like, in 2 years, do you think they're a playoff team?
Oh, I mean, there's so much that needs to be figured out. I mean, like, what's Slavkovsky going to do? Is he actually going to be able to step in and be a top six forward and arrive on the scene? Because that makes a big difference. Are their young D going to take steps forward? How many are going to have some sophomore issues? I hear what you're saying. He's got his cup. So I'm not sure how he likes being there and if he'd be open to signing to stay long, if they'd want him to. I know what you're saying, though. It's a fair point, but the team has signed these guys, and, I mean, I don't think you're going to have four or five guys all asking out at the same time. You know, you sign these guys in good faith. You give them the term you give them. It's okay to expect them to, you know, just to do what you've hired them to do. And I don't, I mean, you have three, four guys come to you wanting trades. I don't think you're able to let everybody off the hook and do that with.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. But I you know, I was going through the team after Caulfield. They've been on my mind, Montreal, and I think they're a big market, right? So you're looking at it. I'm like, hey, well, where are they going to be? What are they doing? And I don't know, man. I think they've got a long ways to go. And if I'm a player
on
that team,
the Cubs are looking okay, though. Like, they've got some good players coming. A lot of their better players are already on the team, though, right? That's the thing.
Yeah,
like they're already there. And that's why you got to keep good players around them. You really got to make an effort to keep good players around them and not put too much on these young guys all at once. I like the Caulfield signing. I think he's shown, you know, you look at his last 80 NHL games and how many goals he's scored. Like, he's showing signs of being a 40-plus goal scorer and on the regular. And if you can get that for the dollar figure they got him at, he's a different player than Draisaitl, and I don't see him having the same type of impact. But with the salary cap set to go up the way it is, this deal could look pretty good in a few years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not criticizing the deal. I want to make that clear. I'm not. And so especially have him and Nick Suzuki done up at that number.
Two cornerstone guys. But I think you're making a great point, though. What's the shape of it around them for the next 4 or 5 years? What's the expectation? What's the trajectory? When should they all kind of be peaking together and turning themselves into a contender? And it can feel a little disjointed with some veteran guys and bigger contracts and stuff, but I just think those guys are so important in the moment. I think that some of the older young guns needed more of those players when they were younger to be around them, Strutty. Like, you were in the middle of that, and you know, you were a good leader and did what you could, but, like, you know, young forwards that are high draft picks, they need really skilled forwards to learn from that have done what they're expected to do that can... You know what, am I overstating that? It feels like
you're right.
You need to put some guys around them that have done what they're being asked to do.
100%. But those players have to want to stay there. And that's my point. Like, I just this isn't on Montreal, but I just, like, if I was this guy, Josh Anderson, I've been there for a number of years, and 4 years I'm looking ahead, I'm like, do we make the playoffs 3 years from now? 4 years from now, I'm going to be 32, 33.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's where it gets difficult for a team.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Then the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, you know, this team wasn't so long ago that they went pretty deep. And so when some of these guys are doing their deals, looking at the organization, you get a sense for maybe where they're at. Mm-hmm. And then very quickly, it's clear that's not where they're at. It's not quite as dramatic as Chicago, say, when Seth Jones signed his deal there. But, you know, maybe the players who did these long-term deals had a different vision of what that window would look like. So fair to ask how many of them want to stick around for what's to come here.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how fast they'll be able to turn it.
It's going to be interesting. Shauger, I appreciate it. We'll chat with you tomorrow, buddy.
Sounds good, pal.